This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.
Hi, my name is Anna Ayers. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Rawa and Amazon Beauty, Inc. What I love about beauty is it empowers women and men all over the world to take on their daily life and be strong.
Journey into the Amazon with a hair and skincare brand whose purpose came before the product, growing out of a nonprofit to protect the rainforest. It started with a chance discovery of a rare nut grown only in the wild that indigenous women harvest by hand into an oil for strengthening their long hair. Discover the secrets to growing a global brand with sustainability built into its DNA, how the products were brought to market with respect for the ecosystem and communities of 500 families supplying the ingredient, the importance of carefully cultivating retail partnerships, and how products can connect consumers to the earth.
From New York City, you're listening to Beauty is Your Business, covering the intersection of innovation and business in the beauty industry.
Well, welcome, Anna. We're so excited to have you. We're also here with Kelly, my co-host.
Nice to be here.
All right. So we're going to jump into the story of Anna and her business, which is a pretty remarkable one. So Anna, you're whole beauty brand is built around the rainforest and certain special ingredients that are only found there, and a certain one that I had never seen before in the beauty market when I first encountered you almost 12 years ago, I think. So tell us a little bit about that story.
Thank you. Yeah, really happy to be here and to share our story. Fabian, my husband and business partner, we created our company to protect and preserve the Amazon rainforest. And it's the work that we were doing prior to creating the brand and the company, because we were really looking for ways to educate the world about the rainforest and the importance of, you know, the importance it has for our future. I would say Rawa magically came to our lives and became the tool that we could educate the world about this really special place and really special ingredients in the rainforest. And Rawa is that special ingredient for many reasons. It's special. Rawa is grown wild in the rainforest. It's not farmed, and it's grown in symbiosis with the wild. So it's really dependent on the trees being alive, the birds that come, all of the dynamics in the rainforest keep the tree alive and producing these seeds. Usually twice a year is the harvest, and it's all powered by nature and its natural cycle. And then it's harvested twice a year, and then the women make this oil through a traditional ancestral process that's been done for centuries. Mm-hmm. So it's knowledge, it's ancestral knowledge, and through this process of making Rawa, the molecular weight is reduced really fine, so it's able to penetrate into the hair, so it really strengthens and rebuilds the hair from the inside out. So when you feel the texture of the hair, when you first apply the oil, you feel it plump up, feel stronger to the touch, and then so it doesn't break as easily. It's stronger from the inside out. So Rawa, very special because it's grown in the wild, handmade through ceremonial process and knowledge. And then we pay what we call an above fair trade price directly to the makers who make Rawa oil, to help set a standard and help to empower the communities there to be very strong for their future in protecting the rainforest. The people there are the guardians of the forest and this special place. So Rawa.
It's pretty magical.
Pretty amazing. Yes.
And so tell us a little bit about the process of how you actually discovered the Rawa nut and then how you brought it back to the other jungle in New York City.
Yeah. So Fabian, my husband, he's also a hairstylist and colorist, and he is Ecuadorian, Quechua background of Inca descent. So his journey in life brought him to New York as a hairstylist, and he was working in the hair world for many years here. And he got to a point in his career where he wanted to do something bigger, is how he describes, kind of more philanthropic. And he started traveling back to his home country, to Ecuador. And on his travels, he ended up going into the rainforest, meeting people there, and saw that, you know, there was this information that they didn't have about their land rights and their ancestral land rights. And so he started to go there and bring information and education. So in doing that, he was, you know, in the community, and he happened to pass by a group of women in their hut, and they were actually applying and playing with their hair, because they have hair down past their knees. It's amazing. And they were playing with their hair and applying something, and he was very curious, and he went up and asked, you know, what is this? And so they told him about rawa and the rawa oil. So that's when he saw it firsthand, and they were using the product in their hair. And so that's how it was first encountered and discovered by Fabian.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. And then how was he able to bring that back to the U.S. with him?
Yeah, so he purchased a small amount. It wasn't in the bottle it is now. They, you know, package it up in like a bowl.
I remember the first one you gave me, the little sample.
So he brought it back and put it in his suitcase, and you know, didn't think much at the time. This was years ago, until someone came into the salon that he had and asked for a treatment, because they had very overprocessed, color treated hair. And he remembered he had brought back this oil, and he thought, okay, I'm going to try it here. And so he did. He did a treatment. He left it in, I think, maybe an hour or so. And the hair, which was very over bleached and turning almost white, became a more golden color in the tone. And also the hair was plumped up again, and it felt stronger. So he could see this result very quickly. Mm-hmm. So he knew then that this was something very powerful, but we waited. He waited for a while before creating products, because, you know, Fabian was also very, you know, interested in this environmental piece, and was concerned that if we, you know, brought something like this out into the forefront, that, you know, it could be, you know, taken advantage of, or some, you know, usually people want to go in and extract and take in excess. So waited a while, a few years, before finding out that actually, you know, the trees, they have to grow in the wild, that it can't be farmed, because it actually, the trees fight for the same nutrients in the soil. And they need this wild open forest healthy so that it can thrive, because you know, even seeing areas where roads have been built and the trees don't flourish in the same way. So once we found out that, like, this is important for rawa to exist and continue to flourish, we said, oh, well, actually this might be a great tool for educating about the environment. And it puts, you know, we wanted to create a company where we protect the environment first. So, like, this helped us continue that and do that work, because we have to take care of the forest so that we have this ingredient for the future. And then also, you know, clients, then their hair looks good, you know, and that's from nature. Right. So then you've got to take care of nature so your hair continues to look good. So it's then personal, of personal importance to take care of the environment.
You were really sort of very early into sort of sustainability and the environment. Yeah. And it wasn't really storytelling. I mean, you have a brand that has a real purpose to it. And it kind of feels like fast forward a decade. Mm. Now purpose is still important, but I feel it's also become very trendy to have a purpose. In the beginning, when you sort of went down this path, was it hard for people to understand sort of your approach to business? It was very different 10 years ago than it is now. It's sort of taken for granted. But was it sort of a hard story to tell?
never hard to tell the story because the story is very interesting and exciting.
But to understand the business underpinnings, I guess.
Probably. And to be for people to maybe respect it and have that credibility. But then where the credibility comes into play is once you try the product. Yeah. Because the product, the potency, the power, what it delivers, the results. In the beginning, it was hard talking about natural ingredients and plant-powered ingredients and how, like, you know, people expect a certain result, you know, and hair care is very, very particular. You got to have a result. You got to have a great result or there's no point in having a product. So for us, it had to be about that quality right in the beginning. So that with the quality there, then the credibility comes. Mm-hmm. So the product has to deliver. So for us, we just kept proving how powerful the plants are. And I think now, like, you can see how, you know, it's like a plant-based diet, for instance. Mm-hmm. You know, you eat well and you see those results. Maybe you don't see it immediately, but you eat that way for a week. You eat that way for a month. You eat that way for a year and you see it. Same thing with these ingredients for the hair. The long-term results is like, it's transformative. It's a completely life-changing experience, really. So, yeah, we were early, you know, and I think we were thinking about the future and we purpose, you know, and I say there's kind of two, and I think we spoke about this, two key reasons for success is, you know, having a purpose built into the business and being crazy about making it happen relentlessly and crazy. Yeah.
Well, what were some of the challenges with the sustainability, building that into the brand in the beginning or continually? Because it's obviously changing and it's sort of a bullet that everybody's chasing, but like I don't know if you ever really get there, or maybe there is some way to get there someday, but sort of more of an evolution, I feel like. What are some challenges you've encountered on that journey?
Well, for us, from the beginning, it's always been about that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always been about thinking about beauty in a completely different way and why we even have beauty products, like, or need beauty products. And it has to be very purposeful. It has to be very thoughtful, very conscious. So I would say Rawa oil and the rainforest is like our inspiration for everything we do. You know, because Rawa oil is so potent and powerful and beautiful. It's handmade. There's so much knowledge with every drop. And if you think about an ingredient like and the magnitude of a drop or the energy that goes into creating it or the energy that goes into the land where it's grown, and then you incorporate that into your experience of beauty, it transforms what it means and you slow down to appreciate it more. So it's this whole like being connected to the whole process. So ingredients, their power is one thing, but then also like the place and why we take, why we use, how much do we really need? You just start rethinking and thinking about the indigenous communities and how they live in the forest. You know, they live in one with nature. They're the masters at protecting these places. And they, you know, if they're growing something or using something, it's not an extractive process. It's about nurturing the plant or nurturing the surroundings and the environment so it gives back in abundance and for longevity. So I think for me and the sustainability, those are the things that inspire us when we create, and really every step of the way when we're creating product or concept of a product and the experience of the product.
And you mentioned in our previous conversation about packaging and how that sort of evolved, and you looked at so many different options. And what have there been things that, you know, you've had to sort of change or evolve in that type of thing as the brand has grown?
Yeah. I mean, you know, from the beginning, our formulas are very concentrated, you know, and even people ask us at one point, oh, your conditioner's too thick. You should make it thinner. And we're like, well, we want the concentration because we want a long life to the product. So, you know, if you use a very concentrated product, maybe you're buying shampoo, you know, currently every month, whereas you buy something more concentrated and you need to use it repurchase every 3 months. So concentration is very important. How many products you use, we like to make products that are really multifunctional. So So you're buying one thing that might serve three, maybe even four purposes. So those kind of things are the first steps in the quality. But as far as packaging goes, yeah, I mean, we're constantly looking for ways to minimize and evolve into, you know, what's the best, what has the best life cycle. So we're really excited. We're you know, over half of the line now is in glass bottles, and we're going to be moving more of our packaging into glass this year. And we're also excited to be rolling out a refill solution for our best-selling classic shampoo and conditioner this year. So we're really excited for those rollouts. Yeah, so those are things that we're doing and always looking to do more. And, you know, for like our bottles, for instance, our shampoo bottles, we use PET1, and we choose that plastic when we need to use because it really is the most universally and globally recyclable and actually recycled and turned into, you know, carpets and furniture and things that we actually use. So when we do, that's what we use. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got it. It's really interesting. Yeah. All the choices are very careful. Yeah. So we are going to take a moment now to have a little bit of a break, and this is what we call snack time.
Nice.
As a tradition on our show, the guests often bring us a snack for everyone to share. It's a good way to get to know a little more about you. So, Anna, tell us a little bit about what you brought and why.
I brought something healthy.
That's probably much needed.
We brought some guayusa tea today, which is... it's delicious, first of all.
Oh my gosh, cute bowl and everything.
Oh, wow.
So we brought, and also these are sacha inchi seeds, inchi nuts. They call them the Inca peanuts.
Oh my gosh, and they're edible.
They're edible.
Oh, wow. Because I've seen them in, obviously, but I've never seen them in person, and I did not know that they were edible.
They are. So we actually use the oil from this,
right, I know.
In our products. Wow. And it's very high in omega-3. So it's
very cool.
Vegan omega-3.
Oh my gosh.
It smells really good.
Yeah. So cool. So it's a full holistic experience you put on your hair and inside.
Yeah, absolutely.
They do have a peanut flavor. Delicious.
Yeah.
Coming up, you'll hear Anna talk about how she has grown the company from a seed, literally, into a global brand with presence in now dozens of countries.
Hi, I'm Roseanne Gold. I'm a chef, an author, a food writer, and the host of a new podcast called One Woman Kitchen. So excited to be doing this because I'm interviewing the most fascinating women in the food world. And you don't even have to be interested in the food world or be part of it to enjoy these remarkable women's stories. It's diverse, it's international, it's intergenerational. What's most exciting to me is that the concept of One Woman Kitchen means something different for everyone. You can listen to One Woman Kitchen every week at onewomankitchenshow.com and also where all the best podcasts can be found.
So, you know, the story, or your story, is that really started with a foundation before a brand. Mm. Can you share a little bit about the foundation and how it really sort of created the infrastructure for the work that you do with the community?
It was very organic how it all happened. We decided we needed to do something. We decided we needed to find a way to take care of the forest. And so we kind of the straightforward idea was to do a nonprofit. And raise funds to help this cause. So we set up an organization called Eco Agents, where we could do the work of, you know, educating kind of the outside world about this place and its importance, and then also bring education directly to the communities or knowledge to help them for the future. So that was how we started, and we did a lot of fundraising and you know, looking for ways to like do that work, but that wasn't really our cup of tea, like the fundraising. I think we're very much action, not activists, but action
doers.
Action doers. And we, you know, Fabian is also very visionary and has these amazing ideas that will, he's indigenous himself. Mm-hmm. That's his background. And his approach is very much about giving tools to help the people have the knowledge of what needs to happen, and they're taking care of the forest already. So how do we empower mm-hmm. that to continue? So that was, you know, kind of the evolution, and then finding the tool to help that happen. And then the tool happened to be
the product.
Rawa. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we say. I mean, it's magic, and everything about it's magic, because now this purpose keeps bringing magic forward, because all of our decisions are about how do we deliver this purpose. So that really guides us into to what we need to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's such an amazing story, because I think for me, the intent mm. and the purpose mm. came before the product.
Yeah.
And I think often now it's the reverse.
Yeah. And that also is, for me, it's like function.
Yes.
I don't want to create a product unless it's function, high function. It's got to work hard for you. Why should something exist if it doesn't? But it's not environmental. Mm-hmm. It's not on the wavelength. So yeah, it really kind of, yeah, it's our path. It's our.
And how do you, because you're dealing with sort of a process that's quite labor intensive,
yes.
and there's a finite amount of this ingredient. Mm. And it's also, I would imagine, how do you forecast, I guess, growth against sort of the raw material
right.
that is sort of not plentiful, if you will?
Yeah. The great thing is it's very potent. Mm-hmm. So that helps with what will be needed. But for us, you know, the rainforest is vast. And as long as we take care of it, mm-hmm. it will continue. So it's really up to all of us to be sure these things exist for the future. So I think, you know, I think most business owners would approach this and be very scared of the idea mm-hmm. to create a business like this. But we wanted to create a business that is this closely aligned to nature, because it puts responsibility there.
I guess it probably makes you very intentional about what you create, because, yeah. you know, you're dealing with sort of this very precious commodity. Mm. So SKU proliferation is probably not in your growth plan.
I mean, it's very organic, yeah. very purposeful, high function is, and you know, because everyone wants to see something new and exciting, but there's also what can be new is like innovation, different mm-hmm. ways to approach how we use product, what we use a product for, how we package a product, what's in the product, and just do quality, lead with quality. Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how have you grown the brand so much from, you know, bringing it here to New York, experimenting with it in the salon, and then getting it out to a wider audience that now has become global, which is really exciting.
Yeah. yeah. Planting seeds.
Literally.
Planting
seeds. It always
seeds.
Goes back to the seed.
Planting seeds. Yeah, definitely. You know, and planting the seeds, meaning putting Rawa in homes or stores where it's very respected mm-hmm. and honored and cherished, you know, so selecting, you know, our retail partners and, you know, in a way that will really like help to elevate and grow the brand for, you know, the long term, because we set out to create a brand for something classic that would be around and serve a purpose for forever. So yeah, you know, we started planting seeds early on in Europe, and so we have a strong international business, and yeah, I mean, I think it's just really relevant for everyone, and also the great thing about the product and the performance of the product is it translates to different hair types, different cultures, different lifestyles, climates. So you know, it's great, and I think a lot of people look for, you know, I need a product for this type of hair, or I need a product for that type of hair. But the amazing thing with plants, like we were talking with food, same thing. Like you give the body, you give the hair something healthy. And it gives you results. Like plants are good for everyone. So they're good for all hair types in different concentrations. So, yeah.
Interesting. Have there been any challenges along the way of scaling up the brand as the seeds have been planted and start to sow?
Never challenges.
Never only opportunities.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, but it's true. The challenges, you know, they spur the creativity. So, like, challenges come up, and then you just get creative and you get solutions. So, yes, challenges. I think there's always challenges. And, yeah, I mean, I guess availability of ingredients, changes, you know, in ingredients. And at one point, you know, we were using wheat protein in a lot of our products. And then there was, like, really, you know, asking questions about gluten, you know, people looking for gluten-free. And so, you know, we're thinking, well, how can we do that? And so then we started looking for what we could do. And we actually came to find that quinoa protein was an amazing, gives strength and elasticity, or makes the hair more strong and helps retain moisture. So it became this amazing replacement ingredient for us. So I think when you have challenges, you mm-hmm. look for solutions, and usually it pushes you forward into something great. Right. So, yeah.
And how did you, when you were first creating the line, partner with the formulators and, you know, mm-hmm. all of the different actors that you need to get a product to market? How did that come about?
Patience and diligence and finding someone else a little bit, a little crazy. Because you have to have, it's the same wavelength, you know, and just finding those partners who really get it and who you can create with. And, you know, creating a formula is really, I think, like, you know, painting, or it's a very artistic expression. And there's a lot of, like, you know, kind of back and forth. It's a dance to really get what you need. And then, you know, it's great that Fabian, you know, has this experience and knowledge of hair and a professional performance of a product. So he's very involved in the development. And yeah, so it's a process. And it continues to be, because there's also always new innovation with ingredients. And but it's fun. And then my background is, you know, design, fashion design, and I love color. And so I love to play with color in our formulas as almost like paint, mm-hmm. because we use lovely ingredients like molasses to create the color in our shampoo. And we use chlorophyll for our voluminous shampoo, or, you know, beautiful clays, earth clays. So I think it's very artful, the creative process. Yeah.
Love that. Amazing. So where, as we move forward, and the brand is more than a decade old now, right?
Yes.
How do you see it evolving, and what's the next chapter for you? Obviously, expanded so far.
Yeah. Every shower in the world to have Rawa.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, definitely. Because every shower that has Rawa is directly supporting the life of the rainforest and the future of this special place. So for us, you know, especially in 2020 and beyond, we're going even stronger into our environmental work. I'm very proud of Fabian. He has envisioned a way to really help the indigenous communities who already have their ancestral land rights, to help them have an even stronger connection to their land for the future by helping them obtain the title property legally for their land. And he is working on this project and is now successful with a community called Chichira, and which is part of the Achuar Nation. And now he is working on a project to grow this even larger. So we're currently helping to protect 37,500 hectares of pristine forest for perpetuity. So this is really big. This is really historic. It's not been approached in this way before. And it's amazing for the indigenous communities, and to really keep the knowledge and the protection of the forest for the future. So this is very near and dear to us. And Fabian is there often to really continue this work, hands-on, grassroots, make sure it is what it needs to be. So that, and then also just to continue to create products that really improve the lives of our customers, give this happy, optimistic feeling, and connect to nature. Because when you use something, you use a product, and you feel like It smells like the jungle, or it smells like you're under a waterfall, or it transports you. Mm-hmm. You have that connection and it becomes real. And then it's like putting your feet in the grass or, you know, breathing the air. So I want to really create that deeper connection for our customers to these product experiences. Yeah.
Love that. We all want to be connected to these products.
Make that happen.
Yes. Well, I've been lucky enough to try many of them. So we're going to take a moment for our second break. Coming up, you'll hear more about the personal side of Anna with a round of what we call hitting the pan right after this.
Makeup in Shanghai is the only B2B event in Shanghai with global makeup and skincare offers from ingredients, formulation, design, packaging, accessories, and full-service suppliers, along with workshops and conferences by top experts of the industry. The next edition, April 8th and 9th, 2020, at the Shanghai Exhibition Center. Whatever your project is, you can find the best contacts there. You can ask for a free badge on the website makeup-in-shanghai.com.
And now, it's Hitting the Pan.
Okay, Anna, it's time for Hitting the Pan when we get to the deeper layers of who you are. To determine who asks the order of the questions, we give the salon chair a spin and see who it lands on. So let's spin the chair, and the first question will go to me. So I'm curious, Anna. So you and your husband have built this amazing business together. How did you meet?
Well, of course, we met in the hair salon. Where else?
See? Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So you were a customer?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so after I moved to New York, you know, you move to a new city and you need to find a hairdresser, right? So mm-hmm. a good friend recommended Fabiana. You got to go try my stylist. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I did. I went and met Fabian, and and I went back again because my hair was working. It worked. And we just hit it off. We became, you know, friends right away. Mm-hmm. And and really haven't looked back, you know, ever since. So, wow. Yeah.
Did you ever think that you'd start a whole beauty brand together? It's pretty incredible. It all started in the salon.
It's amazing. I could have never mapped this, my life. I never would have, you know, expected it to be what it is now. I think sometimes you just have to, when an opportunity comes your way, you follow your instinct, and it's really been that. Mm-hmm. And I feel very, you know, grateful, mm-hmm. and to be able to do what we do. And it's really been magic. Mm-hmm. It hasn't always been easy, but right. it's magic. And I think you just, you know,
keep when
moving
you see
forward.
It.
Yeah, you do. Really, it's instinct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is, yeah.
That's pretty cool. So let's spin the salon chair again, and this time it lands on Kelly.
So, you know, I think the Amazon for a lot of people, it's sort of this place that it's mysterious and you read about and you see the images, but many people will never visit it. Mm. What was sort of the most striking thing the first time you went there? Like your sort of the memory that pops into your mind?
Well, there's always adventure and green. So when you get there, everything's green, dense and green, and everything just feels very green. But then you start to adjust to being there, and then all of a sudden you start like smelling things or seeing the flowers bloom. But you have to start looking for it, but your eyes get adjusted. And then, you know, I remember doing like a big hike, you know, through mud. We had boots and muddy and slipping and sliding. But then, you know, and sweating and just like, you know, to get to the next part of our journey. And then finding a beautiful orchid on the ground and had picked it up. And like, it smelled so sweet. And in that moment, because it was like such a hard trek, that moment of just smelling that sweetness, it was so beautiful and so fresh. I still remember that moment. I think it's because you just stop and you appreciate in a different way. And it is this kind of sense of adventure. Every time I've been, it's usually something you kind of have to leave it up to, nature or whatever's going to happen. You don't have as much control, but it's liberating.
Is that hard as a New Yorker?
Well, it is, but it's liberating is what it is. Because then once you do that and you come back and your whole perspective is different, it's bigger and you don't think about like you as much. It's more the whole, which is great learning. And every time I go, it's more, I kind of, that opens up even more.
Is the reentry like back into the city after spending time there hard?
No, not really. I always come back very renewed.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like we got a little peek into what it's like there. It sounds amazing. So at this point in the show, we'll offer you a chance to give us all your final thought on our conversation and anything that you want to share, and also how our listeners can connect with you.
Yeah. Final thoughts is I really just thank you. You know, thank you to Pachamama, to the rainforest. Thank you to the communities, the indigenous communities that we work with. Thank you to our customers. Thank you to everyone who supports RAWA, because everyone, we're all working together and we're all connected through this. And I think that's the beautiful thing. We use beauty as a tool to connect with each other, to connect to nature, you know, and our tagline for the company is beauty is power, right? Because beauty is this tool for power and to for a greater good. So I would say thank you, and beauty is power.
Amazing. Yeah. And how can listeners connect with you and the brand?
Yeah, you can find us at RAWA Beauty on Instagram.
Awesome.
And visit us on RAWA.com.
Amazing. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Anna, for being here with us. We really appreciate your time. You know, it's precious. Thank you to everyone for listening. Check back next week for another great guest. And thank you so much, Kelly, for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm April Franzino, and this is Beauty is Your Business.
This has been Beauty is Your Business, produced by Mouth Media Network. Copyright 2019. Keep in touch on Instagram and Facebook at Mouth Media Network, and find prior episodes at beautyisyourbusiness.com and wherever the best podcasts are found. Your brand message can be on this show. Email us to find out more at podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.